Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. I talked to one of our listeners recently who visited our church, and they said to me as they were walking out the door that they wake up to you and me every morning on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in our particular area. And we've had comments from others as well. I know you hear it when you travel and are in areas where the broadcast airs, that people actually wake up to us in the morning. That's a pretty scary thought.
Yeah, that would be, especially hearing my voice. That would be quite jarring.
Well, actually, we have a great topic that we want to jump into, and Doc, you and I were talking a little bit about it before as we were getting ready for the broadcast today. But we want to talk about how to live, the secret to living a God-glorifying life. And, you know, there's a lot out there today. It's kind of like the new buzzword, the glory of God. And I don't mean that to come across as though that's not an important thing. That certainly really is the heart of what God has called us to do. But when we think about what is at the heart of living a God-glorifying life, how would you summarize that? Where would you point us?
All I can do is share my personal journey, where I came from salvation, training, functional ministry, and then came to realization that academic is what I know. Action is what I do. Attitude is what I am. And that's what Christ dealt with the Pharisees. Their academic was right on target. No one knew academic like they did regarding the law. Action. Jesus did not rebuke them for their action. He said, these things ought ye to do. You are externally white, but internally, that which is a whited sepulcher externally is rottenness internally.
Full of dead men's bones.
Full of dead men's bones. So what makes us Christian? Remember preaching a message out in California on how do saved people become Christians. And the principal of a school said, you preached heresy. He said, saved people are Christians. I said, no, you didn't hear the message. I said, a saved person is one who knows the truth, has accepted the truth. He's walking in activity, demonstrating truth. A saved person can be not very Christ-like. What makes us Christ-like as Christians is attitude, what is going on in the inner man. And my personal journey, as the Spirit of God was working in me, I was driven to 1 Corinthians 13 many years ago. I was afraid of the chapter, to be honest. I never preached it because I thought, as I read it, I can't live that. I didn't feel capable, mature enough to take 1 Corinthians 13 and preach on it. But I spent a lot of time taking that chapter apart, word for word for word. And I came to the realization that God-glorifying love is what makes us able to live in a God-glorifying way, demonstrating God's truth to this world. In other words, I could have been full of activity. I could have been full of sacrifice. I could have been full of driving junk cars, living in small apartments, or living in trailers on parking lots.
Yeah, all the sacrificial stuff we do in ministry.
All the things that would be there. And if I am not motivated out of God-glorifying love, it's going to be a zero at the Bema when my life as a believer is measured.
I'm just trying to process a little bit. You said something really, I think, significant at the front end of what we were just talking about, and that is your academic is what you know, your
action
is what you do,
yes.
But your attitude is who you are.
Yes, attitude is what I am.
Well, most of us live at either the academic or in the action realm.
Well, that's natural because that's of our responsibilities. In other words, we are responsible, you as a pastor, to dig out truth, to know. You, as a pastor, are obligated to do.
Right.
But that doesn't – you could be in your pulpit. I could be in my classroom with academic and action demonstrated, but be internally flawed in my inner attitude.
And that nullifies, in God's sight, everything that I've just done in terms of bringing glory to Him.
Bringing glory to Him and ultimate reward at accountability at the Bema. In other words, what drives me? Why do I do what I do? the Pharisees came under very severe rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they did not have the capacity to love. It's a very serious thing. When you study 1 John, they who love not know not God. As we go into this series on love, God is still working on my heart in these matters.
I think that statement, Doc, that you just quoted about knowing God being evidenced by love, in fact, the statement literally says if we don't have this quality, it's an indication that there's something so seriously wrong with us that we may not even be the children of God.
And that's what a careful study of the book of 1 John indicates.
So this is no minor matter.
No, it's not a minor matter. Some people take positions on issues and positions on things, and they have such a vitriolic spirit, such a vitriolic attitude, and there is a total absence of love. As I would begin to observe these things, and sometimes I would feel this feeling within myself, at times I thought, God, this does not glorify you. When I looked into the chapter, the actual heart of this series of broadcasts will be 1 Corinthians 13. But there are other passages that would deal with these issues as well. Why don't you read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 particularly, but put that in context.
You know, when we're driven by academic or by action, we can actually sound very pious in how we're talking and in what we're doing, and it's actually not bringing glory to God. And I think that's really the context of what Paul was warning Timothy, that there would be people who would come with all kinds of discussions about genealogies and fables and vain janglings. And he says to them, this does not bring godly glorification. Really comes out of that context. He says in verse 4, don't give heed to fables or endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And that's kind of the context of which we're talking about, how to live a God-glorifying life. And here's what he says. Now, the end of the commandment is charity. That's our word for love. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling.
Now, when you look at the end of the commandment, that's the goal. In other words, everything crescendos to this. And what is the ultimate? It is a demonstration of love.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get love? Out of a
pure heart.
Pure heart. So first of all, what does that indicate? How is a heart made pure?
Well, it's made pure by the word of God.
Yeah, and by regeneration.
And by itself, exactly.
Right. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. So regeneration is necessary so that I have the Spirit of God dwelling within me. The end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. Out of what next?
Then comes a good conscience, a healthy conscience.
Okay, so pure heart gives my God relationship.
Mm-hmm.
A good conscience gives my God and others relationship. That is there anybody alive who can point a finger and say, he wronged me and never made it right?
You know, it's interesting. Paul said it this way, I labor diligently to keep a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. It's exactly what you're saying.
Yes. And then genuine faith, that's a self relationship. That realness flows from within me.
So in other words, the God-glorifying love that we're talking about has a God direction, an others direction, and a self direction.
Same thing the fruit of the Spirit does in us. Love, joy, peace, my God relationship, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, my others relationship, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, my self relationship. Every relationship has to be dominated by this fruit of the Spirit, and the end of the commandment is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The love of God that was manifested to us by the Father, demonstrated in the Son's obedience to the Father, for God so loved. That's the only capacity we have to love is the indwelling Holy Spirit of God.
And that's what the Pharisees were missing.
Right. They had such a hatred to perfect love, Christ himself. They had such a hatred to a demonstration of perfect love out of the born-again disciples that they wanted to kill them. They went to Gamaliel, say, we have to kill these people. We have to stop this movement.
Mm-hmm.
What were they doing? They were loving the lost to Christ. That hatred that came was an evidence of the rotted interior.
But they were the people who had the best academic, and they were the people who had the best action in terms of keeping the law.
Right. I mean, to the point where every little activity was brought into judgment, and pure love himself walked among them.
And they rejected him.
And they rejected him and criticized him for loving on the Sabbath. Their heart was so decayed, they could not relate to real, genuine love. So I think this is going to be a real series of Christ exaltation because of his demonstration. But I believe it is also going to be something that will be good for every one of us to examine and learn the joy of the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of a genuine love that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that you love that you don't like. But the more you love them, you end up getting to like them.
Mm-hmm.
But
boy,
the only way
true.
You can love is it's a fruit. There's no way my flesh can produce a love for someone except it would be out of the fruit of the Spirit in a born-again life.
The fruit comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's presence in my life comes through the whole process of regeneration, which is what you were saying at the beginning. It comes out of a pure heart. And if I don't have that to start with, I'm never going to get the good conscience and the unfeigned faith that we're talking about.
Because we'll know our God relationship. We will know our other's relationship. And we will know that the Spirit of God is bearing witness with our spirit that we are indeed a child of God. So you ask yourself, how am I related to God? Then is there anyone with whom I am in conflict? And it's never been settled. And the reason it hasn't been settled because I have not allowed myself to love someone who in my mind is unlovable. Because I won't let God love that person through me. And then I end up with the stress within because I am not living with a genuineness.
Yeah, there's no sincere faith.
No sincere faith.
Well, Doc, I'm excited about the series. I'm excited for my own life as we come back to these passages and look at them. And I know as we talk through our series, The Secret to Living a God-Glorifying Life, and as we focus in on God-glorifying love, literally being the thing that shapes our attitude and the atmosphere of our life, I know it'll be a help to our listeners. You can get this broadcast and all the broadcasts on the series, The Secret to Living a God-Glorifying Life, on our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless.